see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. We want to go through tonight biblical steps to deliverance. Biblical steps to deliverance. On my Facebook, I'm assuming that people know who I am. My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this Bible study for tonight. I have a broadcast 4 to 6, Monday through Friday, here at the Watchman for Jesus Network website, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Bible study, Monday through Friday, 8 to 9. Also, we're played up in highportradio.net by John Kirkler. Voluntarily, he plays our broadcast and our Bible studies, and we really appreciate that. He has a goal of increasing his network, and he has sponsors up there that work with him. On highpointradio.net, we'll list the sponsors. You can go there and look and find what sponsors he has and find out. And then if you have to use their services to do that, check out the website on occasion when you get an opportunity, highpointradio.net. We're played up there randomly. I don't have an exact date or time during the course of a day, just random. Of course, on my website, watchforjesus.com, I have a 24-hour loop of archives that's playing 24/7. And so, family, my Facebook, Watch for Jesus, join at any time. You know, there's another heresy going around. I'm trying to find the origin of it. If anybody knows, send me an email. The origin, or the heresies being taught is about being born again. You know you must be born again before you enter heaven. You must be born again. They're saying that you will not be born again until your body is changed. Huh. It's a little bit late then. So the born again that we talk about, that Jesus is talking about in John 3, is of the Spirit. So when you're born of the Spirit, you're born again here on this earth. You must have that ticket before the rapture, before you're taken into heaven. That's a ticket you got to have before you go, or you won't go. It's that important. So they ignore the whole idea of born again before this. I don't know what this... I need to find that teaching and who teaches it. I don't know right yet. I hope to find out in the next 48, 72 hours, but I'm going to look for it feverishly, try to find out who teaches. This is dangerous teaching. Because if you wait to be born again and you ignore the concept of being born again, it's too late after you die. You see? So, you know, I need to find out this kind of theology and expose it for what it is. And these people are fervent in teaching it. They're vicious in trying to get it across. And I want to find out why they're so vicious about it. So it's a cult group. I don't know which one. I'm not sure which sect, what group, what theology, but it's dangerous. So if you all know, let me know. Send me an email. I'm going to be looking for it tonight, tomorrow, and see if I can find out who teaches this mess. We're going to talk tonight about deliverance. And deliverance is the problem going on today in families, in cultures, countries. They're trying to cover over the problems that people are having with medical marijuana, deliverance because of demons, but because they're having psychological problems. So just give them drugs, get on Dr. Phil, he'll solve your problem, or Oprah or something. They're trying to cover over the fact that people get demonized. They get possessed or they get demonized to the point that they, it's based on demons and their different assignments to the individual. That's what is really going on. It's not some psychological malfunction. It's them causing the psychological malfunction. So by deliverance, generational curses being broken, that solves it. Of course, you must continue it. Spread the blood of Jesus around you and the full armor of God on a regular basis, because what one that Satan loses, he tries to get back. Every soul to him means something to spit in the face of God. But every soul that God has, he loves every single one. That's why Satan is after every single one. He knows that one righteous man means lot, avails much. That's why it's after one, because one can affect 100 or even 1,000 or more. What about Moses? It takes one. You see, that's why one soul is necessary for Satan to put down. He doesn't know which one is going to be that's going to affect masses that God can exalt. He doesn't know, because God will take those of lesser and may exalt them to work for him. So Satan doesn't know which one or which ones, see? That's what's going on today. It's not Ebola, Fukushima, I keep using that, FEMA, tyrannical government, plastic coffins in Atlanta, Georgia, all that stuff going on. Ashtaroth, Nebaru, what else is there? All this stuff. It's caused fear. You got fear, you lose faith. It works. We're in a supernatural world. Now, before I get started, almost getting started, I want to dedicate the broadcast. And let's go talk about steps to deliverance. Because this is the remedy today. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together, Father, in this Bible study. Father, protect us with the love of God. Protect us through the blood of Jesus, Father. We put on the full armor of God around, Father, that we can deliver this gospel, Father, be protected for ourselves, Lord, and our families. Father, we do pray for healing for our friends, family members. We pray for those asking for prayers to be answered, Lord, that if there's something in our lives holding us back, Lord, you remind us so we can repent. We can fix it, Lord, that our prayers will be heard and we can help others. Father, sometimes we don't remember, or Father, we have something we've left back that we need to be reminded. Lord, we call upon you to remind us of that unrepented sin that may be holding us back, if that's the case. Father, we pray for those that's contemplating suicide, Father, to set up divine appointments to lead them away from these thoughts. And Father, we call upon you to guide us in this Bible study tonight. Guide me, Lord, that I'll teach the properly, and Father, to give me the inspiration, give me the discernment I need to preach the truth. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're a Christian, I've said this before, you are possessed by God through the Holy Spirit. But you can be demonized by spirits, little s, around you. God's put angels in charge of you, around you, that you can't see, but they're there to keep those demons back so you won't be demonized. It's a technicality, but one that confuses a lot of believers. You have the Holy Spirit inside you. That's possession to a certain extent, but by God. When you go through rituals and all this other certain things that the occult comes up with, numerology and all this thing that they put out with, occultism and sacrifices, all kinds of stuff like that, tarot cards and horoscopes and all that. It weakens the veil because you are doing things that's abomination to God. God hates sin. He loves you as a child, but he hates sin. I don't think we can imagine. On this earth, because of the way that we let things go, it's, okay, you told a lie, what'd you tell? Well, I just said a little one. Oh, you mean it's a white lie? Oh, okay, well, that shouldn't be too bad. You know, lies are lies. Lies aren't color-coded. How much, what'd you steal? It was only a dollar. A dollar? They're making that big deal out of a dollar? You see? No, it's stealing, it's stealing. 10,000, 1 million, or $1. God looks at the heart. The intentions is what he looks at. Steal a dollar, might as well go ahead and steal a billion. Same thing. See, you see? So it doesn't, to us, it doesn't seem the same thing on this physical world. If you just took a dollar, it's just a piece of paper anyway. You won't miss it. You see how it works? Hey, John, that pen, those boxes of pens belong to the company. Man, look at these pens they've got. They're going to miss it. God looks at the heart and the intentions. That's what he looks at. Being demonized. Family ties. Familiar spirit that follows a family. You know, there's demons that will follow generations within a family. It's true. You're dealing with a member within that church which has been affected by financial health or other issues. It's because one demon carries with it many others, kind of tag along in the supernatural realm. remedies of the two are different, of fleshly issues and spiritual issues. But you've got to be able to discern between the two before you'll know if there's an affliction or demonization going on. You're in a state of depression, dealing with it as a state of flesh issue, but you're trying to crucify a demon or cast out the flesh. Are you dealing with the flesh or a demon? Is it you or is it a demon causing it? Oh. Hebrew and Greek has the same name for spirit, but also means the wind, Ruach. You ever seen the wind? No. But evidence of it's clear. They entice, harass, torment, compel, enslave people. If you combine compelling and enslaving, you have an addiction. It's demonic. AA don't get it. AA won't take it away. AA is a New Age concept. 99% of all addictions are, in fact, demonic. They defile the projecting images in your head, thoughts and things in our minds. And they've been able now to do the same thing, defile or projecting images, by technology. So they can synthesize demonic activity. Like to do this gates, portals or gates, they can do it technologically. Whereas in the days before, they'd open up portals by human sacrifice and ritual, witchcraft. Now they tried to open up portals by technology, CERN. Oh, it's another story. They deceive behind all forms of false religions. Religion itself is heresy. Christianity is a religion. But being a Christian is not about Christianity, really. Being a Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, Christians don't always follow Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, they have their own 37,000 sects of Christianity or have different doctrine that they just make up because they think it's better or it makes people comfortable. Sicken people, demons cut to the chase and try to kill you with various forms of illnesses, even suicide. There's even a demon asleep. Your actions, your afflictions, things you feel, is based on the supernatural. Always? No, not always. But majority of the time. So if someone tells you you're being demonized, how dare you say, I go to church every Sunday, I give money, I do this, I do that. I can't be demonized. Well, yeah, you can. Maybe not possessed, but you can be demonized. One of the indicators, let me tell you, that you can stay up till 2 a.m. watching something you probably shouldn't be watching or something maybe, but the minute you pick up a Bible, you fall asleep in minutes. You find excuses not to search the Bible, not to read it. You get real tired all of a sudden. Your mind shuts down. That's a demon. That's an affliction. Messing with you. Why would that happen consistently every time you pick up a Bible? You come up with an excuse. Sin is committed in three ways, namely by suggestion, pleasure, and consent. So the devil makes a suggestion. The flesh loves it, and the spirit consents to it. This is what's really happening. Because of pride, rebellion is one of the worst. We don't believe none of this stuff. We think, I go to church, I give money, I'm basically a good person, I help people, all that don't matter. That comes after you've given your life to Jesus. The scriptures keep you tied in. Educate you. The Holy Spirit talks to you through them. And then comes the good deeds after because you just want to because the Holy Spirit's pointing you in that direction. So to tie our minds up with worthless activity. I just finished watching. It was on the, I search everything out. And there's, little parts on Yahoo and on the side margins. And there's one which shows a Globetrotter, Harlem Globetrotter, that's going for the world record of a backward shot, over the head shot, a full court away from the basketball goal. Guinness his World Book of Records. One-handed shot, over the head, backwards. 82 feet he made it. Stripped the net, made the world record. Then he come up, make a big to-do with a certificate and record it. And, yeah, got it, all right. He was all happy about it and come watch me at blah, 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 blah. And next year I'll get the next year and next year and next year. Once somebody else does it, what happens to it? It's like the excitement's there. I threw it. It stripped the net. Now I've got my certificate. I'm the world's best back the hand drop something shot. Okay. Now what? What happens if somebody gets 83 feet? Then after it's over, do any of you out there ever know about the 82 shot that just happened this past couple of days or today? Bet you don't even know about it, do you? Bet you don't care either, do you? Some people say, wow. So the kids are going to say, I can do that, only to finally get it. I got it. Okay, now what? Now what do I do? What's my next bucket list? Once it's done, it's over. You got to do something else now to replace it. You see how it works? But life is eternal. That's the shot. You don't go back in the past. Demons operate in gangs. Emotions, attitudes, are all kinds where demons hide behind emotions and attitudes. Emotions and attitude is energy portrayed through you from your soul. Well, they intermingle in the soul. That's where you get emotions. Ah, that's energy coming out. Frequency. Well, case in point. They can target your DNA from space. You understand this? All right, let's talk quantum physics here. The basic Schumann, I'm not going to get in detail. That's not what the diet's about. I'm going to talk just for a few more minutes, and we'll get on to the deliverance part, but I'm trying to explain here that this is quantum physics. They've quantified, remember, they've synthesized demonic activity. How they synthesize it means it's a synthetic demonic influence. So demons do it naturally because of what they are, and so mankind has now learned to synthesize it, so man, you're getting it from both sides. So in other words, the vibrational vibration called Schumann resonance of the earth that makes this physical is all principles that God set up that Satan has tried to quantify with formulas and numbers and symbols. Put them together and he can control them to a certain extent. That's a long story, really short. So here's the point. Schumann resonance, average resonance of vibration, that's normal for everything, everybody, is 7.8 hertz. Versus 0.2, or whatever. What's 10% here and there? Or 100%, 10%, 0.01. Anyway, 7.82 hertz, okay? We'll get in the middle. Now, that's normal. That's like, what's your body temperature, 98.6? Is that what it is, 98.6 or something? Whatever, that's your normal. If you get down to just a few degrees less, man, you start freezing. You get a little bit more, oh, you got 102 temperature. You may live, I don't know. You see, a little bit. If your legs are like cramping all the time, you have a lack of magnesium. Man, your body is sensitive. It don't take much. And don't tell me this was happened accidentally by some primordial soup. No. So you're missing by not eating or something, causing an off balance of your body chemicals and what have you, you feel it. Okay. So, 7.82 is for everything, to keep the molecules going the way they're supposed to, and you don't fall through and walk through the wall. Okay. So, they target your body, your DNA, or your house, or your city, whatever, with a HARP, the HARP facility. They can target with an ionosphere beam of sort, a microwave beam of some kind, with 6.6 hertz of energy. It will cause that town, the individual, or whoever, to have depression. It's like a radio frequency, like you want to listen to different radio stations. If they target 7.82, right? Okay. Well, if they target the individual, the town, the city, the flash mob, whatever, with 11 hertz in that grid square of that area, with 11 hertz of energy directed to that group of people, that individual, man, you're ready to kill somebody and you don't know why. You get angry, you get to the point of just ready to kill. Then they put the voice-to-skull technology directive microwave beam in that head, which is what they do. Walmart has it in Stuart, Virginia, in their store, using it for testing. Yeah, it's used a lot of places for advertisement, where they beam the advertisement in your head. They bypasses your eardrums. And the microwave goes right into your brain to the center to collects the sound. Yeah, and they can put thoughts in your head. Now, you see how it works? Well, demons do this naturally. So you got witchcraft, the occult that quantified this. Rebellion and pride is all part of demonic activity. Or technology. They can project thoughts in your head. Now you know where the suicides are coming from for our troops. Gang demons are resentment, unforgiveness, anger, hatred, violence, you see, murder. So they increase your frequency, and then that specific demon goes in and puts those thoughts in your head. That's how it works. Disappointment, loneliness, misery. Well, there's your depression. Goes down to 6 hertz. You see how it works? Whew. Self-destruction, suicide, mind, mental demons, unbelief, doubt, compromise, forgetfulness, confusion. Now, the Holy Spirit is energy, but it's God's Spirit that puts it back right. Prayer. Is you shooting a beam of you up to God. And His Holy Spirit covers everything. And He knows you're calling for Him. But you really got to mean it. Because that increases the energy that He says, oh, He's serious. False religions, Freemasonry, Christian Science, Unity, Islam, Mahia, whatever, Jehovah's Witness, Theosophy, Humanism, all Oriental religions, heresies of Mormonism, reincarnation, all religions of salvation through works, physical body, epilepsy, stress, migraine, all these things are caused. That Ouija board, arthritis too, that Ouija board, that's like a beacon for demons to come, hey, here I am, come on, man, let's play, let's talk a little bit. And it works. There's no way around this. It's like trying to jump in water and say, well, I don't want to get wet. Family, you don't want to mess with this. Because once you die, you're going to heaven or hell. And family, when you end up in hell, people like unification and Unitarianism think you're going to come out of there. Family, once you get to hell, it's like taking aftershave lotion and trying to put it on your face back in the bottle. It ain't going to happen. You see? It ain't going to happen. So you got to do it now. This is our test. This is your college. This is your boot camp here on earth. In the physical. The physical is what keeps us back. He wants your strength. Before He makes you immortal, He wants to know that you're not going to turn on Him like everybody else. Like a third of the angels in heaven did. Like Satan is. It was Lucifer turned on him. He wants you to be strong now. Because the time, you're just getting started, man. This is nothing compared to what's coming. This is boot camp for heaven. Failure is not an option. Unfortunately, for some it is. Some of them rather have hell. Can you imagine? Biblical steps to deliverance. Number one, accepting Christ as your Savior. Accept Christ as Savior in John 1:12. This is most important. This is where they're getting you. Getting people say, well, we're calling it born again. They're saying, no, you're born again when your body's changed and you're born again. Your flesh has changed. Now that's born again. Well, no, it's not. Because if you wait for then, it's too late already. You see how dangerous that is? John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now don't confuse sons of God in New Testament, John 1:12, with the sons of God of the Old Testament, Genesis 6:2-6:4, and Job 38:7. Whole different ball game entirely. Sons of God of the Old Testament, Job, Jude, and Genesis, are the fallen angels, the watchers. Totally different. Sons of God by creation. That's why Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Big difference. Begotten Son of God is very important. Being a Son of God in the Old Testament was a fallen angel created by God who could take physical form they had to on this earth to commingle with mankind. They're supposed to lead mankind, but they got a little lustful. Free will caused them to sin. Now you see. Those who receive Jesus have been given the right to become children of God. Now you've maybe started studying before. I don't know how far along you are. You may be ahead of me. I don't know. That's, you know, I'm not a theologian, but I do a lot of research. You might start doing this without seeing through the lens of the relationship with Jesus. You maybe approach this kind of study with some level of suspicion. Different theologies out there. But for you to do it at all means that God's speaking to you and putting some real life conflict into perspective. You might even be tempted to enter the fight right now. Well, hold on now. Hold back. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you don't have the protection of the Holy Spirit, and trying to mess with demonic spirits on your own, not a good idea. Bad idea. The Bible has several examples of that. But the first thing you got to do, as you would tell someone else to do, is you need a Savior. And you can't do it by yourself. Your good works ain't going to get it. A good heart's not going to get it. I'm going to do good things, God will accept me then. No. Because you've had sins that you got to repent for. Unforgiveness of yourself, unforgiveness of others. And you got to do it. You see? Believe it, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for your sins. And then you have a change of mind about your old life and turn away from it. You might have some kind of unforgiveness toward a family member that goes back 20, 30, 40 years that you say, I just can never forgive whoever. Well, sorry, but you're going to have to, whether you like it or not. You're going to have to. Or heaven will not be open to you. You're going to have trouble in your life. And that trouble in your life is a good thing, because that's God trying to pull on your apron string, saying, hey, look, I'm talking to you. Let go of your pride and rebellion, your anger. That's what repenting means. Easy to say, but you had a parent or relative that sexually abused you, or you had somebody that killed your wife, husband, child, whatever. That's tough. That's tough. But that's tough. But that's what you mean, you got to be tougher and forgive that person. The moment you do that, Jesus will come into your life. Now you're going to cry like a baby. He's going to nail you down. Your spirit's going to fight it every step of the way. You're going to find other things to do. Get your mind off of it. Fight it every step. Like you try and fight sleep. Well, that's God talking to you. That's your spirit rebelling. As Satan said, no, no, don't listen to that. This is what's going on today. But you'll be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. This is a prerequisite to any engagement in battle. What do they do at the Freemasons now? They hoodwink your butt. Well, actually, your head. That's just my way of saying it. They hoodwink you, put a blindfold over your head, and then take it off. They say, where are you going? I'm going from darkness to light. Or some other nonsense. And they stick you with a thing on your chest. And, oh, Tom, how do you know? You done it before? No, I haven't. I do a lot of research. I've talked to a lot of people. I would ask to be in a Mason 3 times. I refused 3 times. I was asked 1 time in the same job position to be a member of the Illuminati. Oh, yeah, up in a security company. I was a manager and working for a BP oil refinery. I didn't find out till after I left, after 2 months of total harassment, because I refused to be a Freemason. I said, I can't do that. And then a friend of mine, a former Marine, asked me to be Tom, you want to be a member of the Illuminati? I said, you got to be kidding me. No, I can't do that, man. He's a former Marine, too. I said, what are you doing? He said, I can't do that. And they made 2 months miserable at work. I was a manager, too. I quit, man. I had 2 months of that. I said, I'm done. I'm out of here. I may talk tomorrow. I'm going to talk about it today, about how the Masons can take you out. If God allows it. Sometimes he'll allow it because you're not supposed to be there. But no, I refuse to be it. I don't care what the results are. But the point is, if I'd said yes, because I didn't know any better, and I said, well, sure, I go to the lodge. Sure. You want to be a Mason? Sure, that's great. You train men and you the Bible? Yeah. Great. Boy, I'm a Mason. Well, I don't think I'd get past the first blood oath. I'd say, I got to say this. I can't say this. I wouldn't get past it. I'm not going to go over it now because it's not part of tonight, but I've covered it before. The exact words of their blood oaths and the degrees and the oath they take to keep secrets. It's just unbelievable. But anyway. So accepting Christ as your Savior. Number 2. Repent of any known sin. That's the next step. You know, if you're a believer, the next step to make sure is you've repented of any sinful patterns that have emerged in your life. 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You can't misinterpret that. There's confessions from people addicted to a sinful habit of some sort that no one would suspect them of. Only when they saw, if they were to see, these works of the enemy that's erupted in their lives, what's causing, only then would they understand the gravity of their sin. Confession and repentance are extremely important. What keeps us from it? Pride. Well, that wasn't a sin. I had to do that because there comes that word because. You know, whether your habit is lust or pornography, alcohol. That's why they make those bottles look all nice. I can tell you right now. I used to look at the bar. I drink the drink just because of the bottle. I realize all this now. But I look at the bottle and that's got to taste good. Give that on the rocks. Why? I don't know. I didn't tell them I liked the bottle. That was subliminal. Drugs. I never took drugs in college either. I didn't like smoking. Never had tattoos. I don't like needles. That's the only reason, really. Everybody around me did marijuana, but come on, Tom, come on. No, I can't. Nah, smoking is ridiculous to me. Now, I got some moonshine in my truck back there. No, Tom, we want to smoke something. Don't want to go blind, they'd tell me. It's homemade stuff, by the way. Compulsive shopping. Yes. Food, greed, anything is controlling your life to deal with it. Agreed with God about your sin and then trust in the promise. 1 John 1:9. That if you confess your sin, God's faithful. Just forgive your sin. Cleanse you of all unrighteousness. We're deceived by our addictions. Deceive us and compulsions. We believe that we can soothe it out and satisfy our spiritual issues. You know, the Black Friday thing coming up, they don't have one day anymore. They got 5 days now. Walmart? Is it Walmart? One of them. It's Walmart. They're going from 1 day to 5 days now. And there's women there, literally, I read. One woman walked in, was waiting, they waiting in line at the camp out. Gosh. Brought a stun gun with her. And she used it. They had like 10 doodad something, I don't know, some dolls or something. And she's going to buy them all. I mean, how many can you doll with? And then she started stun gunning people, man. Get away, that's mine. Get away. Good gosh almighty. You know, it's hard to identify false props and face up to them. When's the last time that you were with a group of Christians in a Bible study or fellowship and heard someone ask God to forgive them of their materialism? Who does a good class on this is Chip Ingram. He talks about this. I'm careful anymore. I put some of those mimes up, mainly on my Facebook, and you're going to double check the scripture because it's either NIV or ESV or whatever. And even in men who say they're of God, you got to recheck the scriptures and what they say because they use other corrupted Bibles, and it's a big difference sometimes. Everybody's got some little quirk or something, man. It's getting irritating. You know, it's a sacred cow, this one. In the Western churches, about materialism. I'm a material girl. Era Madonna, that song, you can't get more blatant than that. Remember that in the 80s? I'm a material girl. She does that material like she's a stumbling or something. She's a high priestess in the Luciferian order, big time. She's seriously into it. Matter of fact, most all of the singers of the 60s were into the occult. that was their main purpose. Scripture is very clear that the deceitfulness of riches and desire for stuff can choke the truth out of God's word that's in an otherwise fertile heart. I had four shift supervisors worked under me when I was in Illinois, BP oil refinery. One of them was a diehard Catholic and diehard Freemason. Young guy, ambitious, had a big old Cadillac, man, I could use that in the house. Had a big old Cadillac thing going on. He had a secondary job, Italian, family thing going on, all that. And we'd have talks, and even with the car he had, that some people could live out of, he was looking for other cars when he was on his off lunch hour or whatever. I said, man, what are you doing? Oh, I'm looking, look at this car. Mr. Gamble, look at this car. I said, well, yeah. So why, are you missing one or something? Always wanting more. And I remember, never forget the day, he said, it's about money. He clenched his fist. Money, money is power. I saw his knuckles white. I said, oh, Lordy. Oh, this is something. Then one day I mentioned, and he didn't like it too much, but I said, that car out yonder. I said, I can promise you, this car, that car you got, that nice one, I said, sometime in the near, in the future, whether it's 10 years or 20, I don't know, that's going to end up in a junkyard. And that's going to turn to rust. Or you'll have another one, probably. But that car you see right now, none but rust. You know, we got all kinds of critical needs around the world, as well as churches and missionaries, and they're looking for financial support and so forth. Satan has a majority of evangelicals using the word hoodwinked into believing that material things will satisfy them. I don't have to tell you all that. It's called prosperity teaching. Even Copeland says, I'm a billionaire. There's six in the world, blah, 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 and I'm one of them. Oh. A lot of sources indicate that something less than 4% of born-again believers even give a tithe. 10% of their income, you know, that's Old Testament too, by the way. The churches push you to give 10%. Well, that's not true anymore. It's 20%, 1%, 3%, whatever God puts before you. That's between you and God. Your tithing may be some poor guy comes up to you, entertains strangers unaware. You may give $20. That's your tithe. If you don't do it for the church, so what? But your tithe, God saw it, was that personal, was that poor person that came up to you. That's your tithe, you see. Because most of the money from churches don't go to the churches anyway. They go to the World Council of Churches. That's why they preach lukewarm, watered-down preaching, because they want you to walk out. There goes the money right out the door. Some preachers, some megachurches have ATM cards. Make sure y'all go back there. Don't forget about Mr. R2-D2 down there. Just put your number in. And coffee shops in the back. You know that 90% then of Christians in one of history's most prosperous countries have abundant resources at hand, but have been deluded to giving God a small tip. But again, doesn't have to be the church. It could be the, and then if I go give some money to somebody, like I give, so if I, you know, say I was to give $20 to a poor man and all this, and I go back and get on the air and say, guess what I did yesterday? That's great. Thank you, I know. And I go to other people and say, guess what I did the other day? What? I gave an old man $20. Good job, Tom. Yeah, I know. All matters is God knows. That's all that matters, is that God knows. You know what? Once Corinthians, Paul in Corinthians, talks about the third heaven. It's Paul he's talking about himself. He doesn't tell you that. He says, I know a man in the spirit or out of the spirit. He talks about the third heaven. Was taken up. He didn't say, God brought me up. Set me up and I talked to God face to face. It was me who did it. He just says it in third term. We know it was Paul. But Paul doesn't say it was me. He just says, I do know a man. Well, Paul's talking by himself. But he does it humbly, you see. God will give you the opportunity. He'll test you. He'll test you. You'll get some money somehow. And somehow, don't you find it amazing how it works out? Somehow you'll get some money, and God will put one of his angels unawares in front of you. See what you're going to do with it. You know, weird demonic manifestations in the middle of the night, pots and pans clanging, you know, where it's coming from, the door moving and popping, and something goes flashing through the night, and you're like, oh, gosh. That's not necessarily a precondition for deliverance. If someone's been deceived by the list lies of the enemy, whether through materialism or any other sin that's been caused that renders a person inoperative, if that's the situation, the remedy is to confess it, whatever sin it is. God isn't down on you. He loves you. He just knows that you're missing out on an enormous blessing, and so is the kingdom when you don't get there. Everybody have a place and a part when that time comes. Man, this is your only beginning. Your 80 years of life, 70, 60, whatever it is. 60. No, 70, 80, 90. Man, you're just getting cranked up. That's nothing. That's where you get that bucket list. That's why they have this death education in school. Okay, kids, we're going to the cemetery. The bus is here. Everybody get on. Get your pencils and get your paper. Everybody get on. Come on, come on, come on. They all get on the bus. Where are we going? Cemetery. Oh, wonderful. I can't wait. So you get there, and you... Okay, everybody find your favorite headstone. Golly, we've been so fooled. Now let's go and make your little markings on it, you know, and we'll bring it back, and you talk about it, and... Family, these rascals are teaching us death education, that death is final. You're going to die, and that's it. You're ground, you got your headstone, and then some kids about another 80 years going to come by and see Tom Gamble there. I like this one, maybe. I don't know. And do a scraping, and here's Tom Gamble's sign right there. That's going to be you. And then another, you see, it's death education. It's over. Well, no, it's not. It's called death education. That the humanists have taught us in school to fear death. Oh, we've been so brainwashed. It's to fear death. So I better get my bucket list, huh? What are you bucket list for? Well, I'll do everything I can on this life before I die because I won't be able to do it. You see? That's what bucket list is all about. It's called death education. That there's no life after death. That's a subtle, the subtle lesson they're trying to teach us in this humanistic society. And last one for tonight, we have several more to go, and we'll cover it tomorrow night, is renouncing the works of the devil. So the third step, what's the first step? It's to accept Jesus Christ. What's the second step? Repent of ever known sin that you can. You can't remember it. Ask him to remind you of it. He may cause you to come in front of people that you have to ask for forgiveness by miracle. He's going to test you. Oh, yes, he will. Or to patch up a relationship that you have broken for so long. He'll give you an opportunity to make amends for it. But you must forgive yourself too. Third step is renouncing the works of the devil. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, if you realize you've been deluded and the word's being choked out of your life, you face up to it, reject the delusion. You kind of turn your back on it. So you add to your repentance kind of a repudiation of what the enemy has already done. Renounce the works of the devil. To fight or confront the enemy prior to your clean break from the past and allegiance to the Lord. Not easy. He wants to hold on to you. I'm going to go one more. Destroying occult objects. We hold on to them, don't we? The fourth step is destroy occult objects. 2 Chronicles 14, 2 to 5. Second Chronicles 14. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the grooves. Commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away, he took away out all of the cities of Judah, the high places and images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. In 2 Chronicles 23, 17. And then all the people went to the house of Baal, break it down, and break his altars and his images in pieces, slew Matan the priest of Baal before the altars. Whew, they were serious. Acts 19, 17 to 20. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts, brought their books together, burned them before all men, and they counted the piece of them, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So if you've dabbled with numerology, astrology, Ouija board, or participated in some of these seemingly harmless activities, destroy whatever evidence you still have. If you're a Freemason, man, those rings have got to go. But that's my great-great-grandfather's. Hey, sorry. But that carries with it a curse. If it is one of those curses, astrology, where you go to a Chinese restaurant, and it's real cute. You know, you get the fortune cookie thing, and you eat it, and you open it up and read it. Family, I'm sorry, but that's same thing. It's a cult. I don't even read those anymore. Horoscopes and TV, I don't even read them. I don't touch them. I look over them, scan over it. I don't even read it. I say horoscope, I'm gone. Because family, I'm giving rise to that occult, and one thing leads to another. So those in Ephesians, they came together to burn all the scrolls publicly. It's not only the practice of occultism. It gives them the enemy a pathway, but also its possession of its tools. I know one Freemason, somebody told me, that said, oh yeah, he talked to a Freemason, said he showed him the ring of Freemasonry. He said, this is my ticket to heaven. They got at one degree, I'm not sure which degree it is, 13th degree, 32nd degree, I'm not sure. But I do know that in one of the degrees, around the early part of it, they're told to spit on the cross. Well, the ones that have any sense, they say, I'm not doing that. I'm not spitting on the cross. And they'll say to him, good choice. Good choice. But, family, here's the reality of it. That particular one that does that, what we think is the right thing, not spitting on the cross, he'll never make it in Freemasons. He'll never move up. Because they're looking for someone to head toward the Scottish Rite, 33rd degree. That's who they're looking for. Because Freemasonry worships Lucifer. Yeah, that's how they do it. Satan is prince of this world, but he's not king. God's king. And as you see that the events are taking place, people are waxing cold more than ever. I mentioned this today in the broadcast, that several colleges said it's okay to kill a 1 to 4 year old because they're not really aware yet. So now I've talked to people before and on the broadcast that under 5 years of age, you're still in your mother's matrix. So you come out zero, right? And you're a crying little baby, no bigger than, say, 8 inches and all this, 9 pounds, whatever. To 4 years old, you don't have much memory of that. You're unaware. So around 5 years old or six, you start remembering things when you're 5 years old or six. But 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 year old, you don't remember that because you're still in the mother's matrix outside of her body. So they're saying, because of that, now they're taking a step further. You're not really a person yet. So you go ahead and kill that baby. Family, this is nothing more than Nimrod sacrificing of children to Moloch, Baal, whatever. Still evil. No matter what you call them. That's all this is. A tricky way of using sociological, religious, moral issues, whatever, coming around to justify the sacrifice of children for witchcraft. To justify the sin of murder. Using up-to-date, current issues or sociological issues, religious issues, to justify sacrifice of children to Lucifer in a very clever, sneaky, evil way. Some of them even think it's okay. And them not knowing it's for sacrifice of humans doesn't excuse it at all. They will be held accountable. Whatever, no matter how they justify it. Doesn't matter. They're held accountable for it in heaven on that day. If they become born again, God will remind them of that. Then he'll wash it away. It's a bondage that they put themselves in. That he'll take away from them. It's being born again. Family, we come to the end here. Tomorrow we'll complete the rest of the steps I talked about last night about the process and the conclusion of how to deliver someone. And then don't just take my word for it. No, just use this, expand it. Get ready because it's coming your way. The demons will soon, as we increase the number of states to homosexual marriage, authorize euthanasia for children, legalize drugs. You see what's going on? Create more fear. The veil gets thinner. The supernatural realm will become more apparent. But then they're heading for their demise sooner. Lord, we thank you tonight. Father, bring us together. Father, guide us in the future Bible studies, and Father, individually, that we can be prepared for the day to come, that Father will witness to others and lead others out of their bondage. Father, we're praying for our family members to bring in the Holy Spirit, touch their hearts, set up divine appointments, confirmation along the way, whatever it takes, Lord, that you know the heart, to bring us all under that umbrella of being a watchman, of being the one that's going to witness to others, lead others in this new war coming. And then the last to stand, to be able to stand, to preach the true word of God. To give us that wisdom, discernment, we can pass it on to others. To strengthen our resolve, that our faith be strong. Lord, just guide us home. All these things we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, thank you all for dropping by tonight. And I appreciate it. And I just share my Bible studies with you. And it's about breaking those chains is what it's all about. It's what the whole thing's about. Breaking up those chains of bondage that's holding us back. And every time you're trying to pull away from them, they come back at you. But God ain't going to let you go. But he's not going to make it ever easy either. But it gets easier as you go along. But family, the time of using it is going to be upon you when that time comes. He wants to make you stronger. He wants you to be stronger. And the only way to be stronger is to be tested, to go through trials. And that's what you're going through now. Those in the 1,000-year millennium reign will not have experienced this. That's why he releases Satan after the 1,000 years. So those of the 1,000-year millennium reign will then have their opportunity to make their choice. And apparently there's some, quite a few, that makes the wrong choice. And that will be the battle of Gog and Magog, by the way. But that's way down the road. Right now we got today to worry about. And the future for this tribulation is coming. Y'all have a good night. And I'll see y'all tomorrow. Those are going to join me at 4 o'clock. And here we go. Break those chains, family. Get ready. Signing off.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, man.
Woo. There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
You declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.